We're standing at the grave of the unknown warrior in Westminster Abbey. To get here, though, I had to make a journey from my office past some remarkable memorials. First, a great carving celebrating Coastal Command. Then a little group in the west walk of the cloister. Memorials to submariners, to commandos, and to the airborne division, all standing side by side, reminding us of service in World War II. There are other memorials there to the Long Range Desert Group, to the Special Operations Executive, the wartime body that oversaw espionage in Europe, and to the Czech Army. This is a conscious attempt to tell the whole story, to put the pieces together in what was an enormous and costly joint enterprise. A single memorial, like the grave of the unknown warrior, placed in the Abbey in 1920, after the First War, is a powerful thing. But it's equally striking to be reminded how many different people did so much in so many different ways to bring the war to an end. As crowds celebrated the end of the war on the streets of Westminster, Winston Churchill gave an impromptu speech from a balcony in Whitehall. There was a slightly knockabout air to it. "There we stood alone," he said. "Did anyone want to give in?" The crowd shouted, "No." "Were we downhearted?" "No, again." He went on, though, to make it clear that this victory was a joint effort. "This is not victory of a party or of any class. It's a victory of the great British nation as a whole." The Abbey memorials make Churchill's point for him. He would want to include all these men and women, and, of course, the British people themselves, civilians who had done so much and endured so much. He would have wanted to include many more besides. I'll have more to say about that in a moment. Now, though, we will hear the Chief of the Defence Staff read Psalm 46, and as we consider the idea that VE Day is something a whole people might celebrate, a shared endeavour, we will recall that beneath, beyond, and above are the great purposes of God, leading us all into an everlasting peace, into reconciliation, and together into his presence.
The reading is taken from Psalm 46, Deus Noster Refugium. God is our hope and strength, a very present hope in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the hills be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof rage and swell, and though the mountains shake at the tempest of the same, the rivers of the flood thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most Highest. God is in the midst of her, therefore shall she not be removed. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen make much ado, and the kingdoms are moved. But God hath shewed his voice, and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. O come hither, and behold the works of the Lord, what destruction he hath brought upon the earth. He maketh wars to cease in all the world. He breaketh the bow, and nappeth the spear in sunder, and burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
What the psalmist wants us to know is that the Lord of hosts is with us. What the memorials in the Abbey tell us is that we are at our best when we are with one another. Our unity matters. In times of great danger, it matters very much indeed.
A reading from St. John's Gospel. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another."
I've been looking at pictures of that first VE Day, Westminster, in 1945. What leaps out, of course, are the crowds, a huge press of people parading arm in arm, or strangers kissing, or conga lines. A very different London from the largely silent streets that surround the Abbey today. Here, a nation gathered in celebration. VE Day was a shared experience. It was what Churchill acknowledged as he began that speech from the Ministry of Health. "My dear friends, this is your hour, not a victory of a party or of any class." Telling the story of the Second World War, it's easy to pick out defining moments and to concentrate on groups of people, the pilots of the Battle of Britain, the army on the D-Day beaches, the Arctic convoys, Dunkirk, El Alamein. The war, though, was a shared experience, and victory was a joint celebration. Westminster Abbey is the place where the nation gathers for national celebrations and memorials, for the great events of our monarchy. There would have been a major service here to mark VE Day. The Abbey was to have been full of veterans of the war. Instead, I speak out of, and within, our new and necessary isolation. Yet I also speak out of that great national enterprise, that shared experience of war and of victory. Suffering and hardship can be shared. Even in desperate times, there can be a recognition that we remain a single people. In that gospel we've just heard, the voice of Christ came to us speaking on the eve of his arrest. He knew the darkness before him. We heard him talk of laying down his life for his friends. What he most wanted to say at that moment, when the world divided and took sides, when hatred got its way, was something about love and common purpose. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Christ talks about love. The gospel is a gospel of love, not because love is nice and makes us feel nice, but because love is the basis for right relationship with one another and with God. That psalm asked us to consider the end of war and finding a place in the habitation of God Most High. You see, peace is not just the end of war, the moment warriors stop striking blows at one another and go home. Real peace is the moment that we explore the business of living together differently, reconciled, and in one shared place. The peace of God is a thing we experience together. Faith is not personal, it's shared. All the images of heaven are corporate, a city, a kingdom, the body with many members. We might be tricked into thinking that the brave efforts of those who have treated the victims of this dreadful pandemic, or kept us fed, or sustained the almost invisible routines of our life, are the only heroes of this hour. The truth is, though, that even this experience is shared. Our isolation is not really isolation. It's a common commitment to a shared and better future. We work together now for a peace we can enjoy together. One of the most famous reflections on the business of belonging together was written by John Donne. It gave us the words, "No man is an island." Donne actually wrote that in the middle of a London plague, fearing his own death, in an isolation of his own. It is a meditation on pandemic. He said this: all mankind is of one author and is one volume. When one man dies, one chapter is not torn out of the book, but translated into a better language. And every chapter must be so translated. God employs several translators. Some pieces are translated by age, some by sickness, some by war, some by justice. But God's hand is in every translation, and his hand shall bind up all our scattered leaves again. We celebrate today because we should. VE Day marks the end of the European war and victory over an evil and divisive understanding of what it is to be a human being. It was a shared experience that day, and a shared hope of a peace in which we might live in love together. It's a celebration we must sustain and a hope we should still share. We're not made for isolation, and we are less isolated than we think. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Barbara Wetherill, a veteran of VE Day, served with the Auxiliary Territorial Service, working as a driver and anti-aircraft gunner. She trained at Camberley Driving School, which the then Princess Elizabeth would later attend. Barbara Wetherill shares with us some memories of VE Day.
Now, I was one of the girls who served with the Royal Artillery in Anti-Aircraft Command as a driver mechanic during the war. And on VE Day, it fell to my lot to be duty driver. So I was one of the few people on the battery who was working that day. And we'd been up all night on a call because the major had decided that there was going to be a raid by the Luftwaffe as a final gesture. We knew there wasn't, but he didn't, so we had to let him have his way. So we hadn't got to bed till about 2:30 anyway. And I was up at 5 to start the daily round of driving jobs, intending to go back to bed and have a lie-in, which was unheard of in the army in those days, but everybody else was having the lie-in. So I put my battle dress over my pyjamas and went off to do the first job, intending to pop into bed for a couple of hours when I got back. No such luck, because everybody wanted a driver for something or other. And it was lunchtime before I finally got out of my pyjamas and back into my proper uniform. And then I had to go down into Sunderland and drive through it to the other half of our battery with a truckload of rations for the officers' mess cookhouse. So I was given an armed guard, which I never had before, and we set off in this open-sided 1500 weight vehicle, which were sort of the workhorses in those days, and we got to the edge of Sunderland to find it absolutely heaving with people. No way was I going to be able to get through Sunderland unaided. And a police inspector very kindly came up with three constables and began to push the crowd aside for me to get through because the road was blocked. When, to my horror, my escort, who'd been, I'd never had an armed guard before in the, all my time in the army, but this day they'd given me one. The war was actually over, would you believe? But I've got this armed guard. He was plucked out of the truck and passed over the heads of the crowd, unhurt, but they just joyfully bounced him the entire length of Sunderland. And all I saw was him disappearing, clutching his rifle, disappearing into the distance, which left me sitting there, being escorted by these four hefty policemen, and they finally got me through. But while I was at the side of while I was waiting to move, there was a little girl at the side of me, in an open-sided truck. You know, you could hear everything that was going on. And this little girl looked up at her mum and said, "Look, Mum, a lady soldier." I always remember that bit. And I was working all the rest of the day doing all the driving jobs. I had to go and pick the band up at night that we were going to have, a civilian band. I had to go and pick them all up for their home addresses and take them back in the early hours of the morning. Mind you, I'd done a 12-hour shift the day before, and this was the whole of D-Day. I was still working. And at 2:30 in the morning, I finally got back to camp, having taken the civilian van back home, checked my truck to make sure everything was okay, and somebody had been sick in it, so I had to clean that out. I finally got to bed, I think, about between 3:30 on the 9th of May by then, and I was up again at 6 for Rivalli to carry on as usual. Emotionally, it was quite a day. There was joy, everybody was so happy. Couldn't quite believe that the 6 years of war was over. And emotionally, as I say, you didn't know quite what to think next. We were a bit apprehensive because we suddenly realised that what we'd been doing for all that time was suddenly no longer viable. We were redundant, with nothing to shoot at. And then we were beginning to wonder at the back of our minds, what were we going to do from then on?
Ralph Vaughan Williams served with the Royal Army Medical Corps and the Royal Artillery towards the end of the First World War. His anthem, Lord, Thou Hast Been Our Refuge, sets Psalm 90. It opens with the familiar text and music of the well-loved hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you. Trusting the promises of God, and in the light of Christ's victory, let us pray to the Lord. Let us give thanks for the service and sacrifice of those who brought peace to Europe, especially those from this land and among our allies who died in the cause of freedom. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us give thanks for those who served in offices and homes, in fields and factories, who sustained this land and its people through the years of war. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us give thanks for the generation who labored in hope to build a better land and a lasting peace. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for veterans and all who carry memories of conflict, for those who bear in their minds and bodies the scars of war, and for those who mourn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for Her Majesty's Armed Forces and all who strive in our day to bring an end to injustice and oppression. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for this generation, for the challenges we face in our own day, that we may work together with courage and compassion for the healing of our nation and the healing of our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Abounding in hope, let us pray in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the Church, the Queen, the Commonwealth, and all mankind peace and concord, and to us and all his servants life everlasting, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.